We're continuing the Rambam's letter about Midrash, and the Rambam had said that all the different Midrashim we will encounter break down into five types. The first type are things that should be understood literally. You read it, you understand it, that's what they meant to say. And this seems fairly simple. He says, I don't have to give you examples because it would seem obvious, but he says, I'll give you an example anyways. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Asur La'adam She'imalei Piv Tzchok Ba'olam Hazeh. Person's not allowed to laugh to the point where he's laughing as hard as he can in this world, because it says, Azimalei Tzchok Pinu. Only then, when the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, will we laugh a complete laughter. So even when we laugh and we have a good time in this world, it shouldn't be with all our might. Our laughter, even in that, there's a reflection of the fact that the Beit HaMikdash is not yet rebuilt. We laugh, we're happy, but it's not complete. Azima le'schok binu, the full laughter with all one's strength is only when the world will reach a more whole state. So that, says the Rambam, here's an example of a medrash that's to be read and understood literally. So that's the Rambam's example. So that's the first type of medrash. Take what you read, understand it, apply it. Simple. Second type. Those are midrashim, says the Rambam, that have an external and an internal component. And what we mean here is that the literal reading is not the internal component. The external component of the medrash is what you read literally. Yeah, that's the external. That's the clothing, so to speak, the housing, the external. So there's a reason. Very often there are big benefits from the simple literal understanding of the Midrash. And if you really want to understand what Chazal were trying to say, Rambam says, I explained most of... Rambam's son says, most of them have been explained, even not all of them, in the Mor Nevuchim and in the commentary on Mishnah. An example of this is Rabbi Eliezer says, in the future Hashem will make a dance for tzaddikim in Gan Eden. He will stand in the middle and the tzaddikim will dance around Hashem and point with their finger and say, V'amar b'yom ahu, hinei Elokeinu zeh kivinu lo v'yoshienu. That's Hashem who we were hoping for. So you read that Gemara, you could take it literally. Oh boy, there's going to be a big dance party in the world to come. No, you have to understand that the Midrash said something, and the Midrash presented it in an encasing, in an example, in an allegory that is not to be taken literally. So that's the second type of Midrash. Now, anyone who takes this type of Midrash and thinks about the literal meaning of that medrash says, okay, I don't think that medrash is to be taken literally. What did Rabbi Eliezer mean? That the wages of tzaddikim in the world to come is that they will have a perception of their Ribbono Shel Olam. Part of the wages in the world to come is that they will reach levels which they couldn't reach in this world. And that's the essence of good, that there's nothing better than that. That's the dance. That's the idea of pointing and saying, that's Hashem I was hoping for. And when Chazal wanted to give you an allegory for happiness, they said dancing in a circle. When Chazal wanted to say, every one of them was able to perceive what they couldn't understand previously, so it says, kol echad ve'echad, everyone points with a finger, to tell you each one gets elevated to a higher level. And then, when he wanted to tell you that the souls will be on a free level where they don't get angry, where they're on a level of holiness, so that's why he said, that's Hashem v'yoshienu, he will save us. That's the idea, he will bring us out of the pains, the small-mindedness of this world where little things actually interest us and affect us. And he wanted to show that the tzaddikim will have a true glory and honor in that world, and that's why he says the tzaddikim will say Nagila v'nismecha bishuato. We will be able to rejoice in his salvation. That you tell a person today he could get such a level, he's not necessarily so happy. But when a person understands, when he's on a level that he appreciates that greatness, that's Nagila v'nismecha. We will actually rejoice bishuato, that salvation. People sometimes say, should I really hope Mashiach comes? I'm vegetarian. What am I going to do? Eat korbanos? People see externals. People are so connected to the little things that interest us in this world that people have a hard time connecting with greater concepts or a greater life. When the Medrash tells us that the tzaddikim will rejoice and say we are happy with his salvation, that's also a level that a person can connect to the greatness of that time. So Rambam says, look at that. In two short sentences, Chazal encompassed so many concepts. That's a good way to express such concepts. They used short words. And that's wherever you encounter midrashim like this, where the literal meaning doesn't seem right, so you should recognize there's a deeper meaning. Look for it. It's something else. This is number two. Third medrash is a medrash that has no internal meaning, only the literal meaning. The problem here is that knowing pshat in these midrashim is very hard. Most people look at them and they don't understand what the medrash is really saying. And if if people try to understand it, they usually miss. They don't get the full picture. And sometimes people get the opposite message because they're so hard to understand what Chazal were saying. People don't know that sometimes a medrash is talking about two concepts. They put it all on one concept. So this is a medrash that's very hard to understand, even though it should be taken literally. But it's sometimes even harder than the previous types of medrashim we described. And that's why you have to be very careful with that type of medrash, not to be quick to interpret it, because it's very easy to make mistakes. I'll give you some examples. He says, Chazal tell us, you should always get your Yetzer Tov upset against your Yetzer Hara, as the Pasuk says, Rigzu v'al techetal. It says, arouse your Yetzer Tov against your Yetzer Hara, arouse your good inclination against your bad inclination, because the Pasuk says, Rigzu v'al techetal. If your good inclination wins, good. And if not, says the Gemara, read Kriya Shema, as the Pasuk continues and says, Al Mishkavchem. If your good inclination wins, good. And if not, remind yourself, remind the day of passing. So what did the Medrash mean, says the Rambam? Well, the Medrash is to be taken literally. The Medrash means what it said. But, says the Rambam, it's very hard to understand the literal meaning because we don't know what the words Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra mean. So you read the Medrash and it says arouse your good inclination against your bad inclination, and we should know the Medrash means what it said, but the only thing we don't understand is what is Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra? What does that mean, my good inclination, my bad inclination, and how do I arouse them? So Rambam saying you have many Midrashim like this that they mean what they say, we just lack the definition of certain components of the Medrash. I want to explain the Medrash, because it'll be a good example, says Rabbi Avraham Ben Rambam, for how to understand other Midrashim. The word Yargiz, means to give, to empower, to give rulership. And Yetzer Tov is one's knowledge, says Rabbi Avram. So when it says, get your Yetzer Tov angry against your Yetzer Hara, so the word Yargiz, he says, means to take control. Do we have a Navi here?
Number one, we also need it to take literally. There's different types of midrashim, right?
Right.
So
Number one, you could take literally and understand.
The example you gave, there's a zillion things I don't understand, but, doing what I want to do as opposed to what I feel like doing at the moment, usually requires, or sometimes conquering the answer. All
right,
you want to show up early for
minions. Let's hear him. He's not going to say what we're thinking. No, I'm saying...
he's assuming that we don't have any idea of Yitzhak Tov and Yitzhak Arif. Maybe right.
You're going to see it. What he defines is not what we think.
Okay.
So firstly, the word Yarkiz, we live in Ben Yehuda's Hebrew, where Yarkiz means to get upset. If we look at the Navi, when Shaul arouses Shmuel from the dead, so Shmuel asks him, "Lama hirgaztani lehalototi," which could mean, "Why did you get me upset? Why did you scare me?" According to Rabbi Avram, it means, "Why did you take control over me?" He's saying the word lehargiz, at least in Talmudic terms, means to take control. So Chazal are saying, give your Yetzer Tov control. What's your Yetzer Tov, says Rabbi Avram? Your knowledge, your dat. Not what we would have thought. What is Yetzer Hara? Rabbi Avram says, those are your desires. Okay, so Yetzer Tov is my knowledge. If I can think of things without being affected by my desires, I'll reach good conclusions. What's my Yetzer Hara? My desires. Yergiz, give control to the Yetzer Tov of Yetzer Hara.
Is that so different than we think?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think what you want to do is your knowledge based on you made a commitment intellectually to do something, and your desires don't always go along with that. You might want to look where you should look. You might want to sleep when you shouldn't sleep. I see that as...
Okay. There's a big piece on this in Rav Moshe Cordoviro in Tomer Dvora. He has a whole piece on what is Yetzer Hara, where he says Yetzer Hara is not evil. Yetzer Hara is that desire which is physical, which has to be tempered, but it's not evil. And Rav Kook almost copies what the Tomer Dvora writes in the Inaya. And now I see that the source for both of them, it seems, is this Rabbi Avram, son of the Rambam. He says, Yetzer Tov is Da'at. Yetzer Ra is Tava, is desire, the physical desires. And our sages were telling us that a person should take control of his desires, of his desires for pleasure, with his thought, with his intellect. And if that's enough to take control of one's desires, good. And if not, then a person should think and should say words that will help him take control of himself. That could be psukim. That could be concepts that remind a person that I'm supposed to be in control. So reading Kriya Shema is arousing oneself to what's important in life. Why is Kriya Shema singled out in the Gemara? Number one, the weak reason is because the pasuk seems to indicate Kriya Shema. And the second reason, which is the prime reason the Gemara quoted Kriya Shema, is because Kriya Shema is a major force in reminding us the purpose of being focused on what we're supposed to be doing. Step one, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Kenu, Hashem Echad. I'm under His dominion. Ve'avtet, Hashem Elokecha. I'm reminded, I'm supposed to love Hashem. Le'avdo, I'm supposed to serve Hashem. The idea that Hashem is taking me to task over what I do, that's all in Kriya Shema. So then I'm going to reach the end of Kriya Shema and I'm going to read, Lo taturu achrei levavchem achrei nechem. I better take control of myself. So that's the main reason why Kriya Shema is quoted in this. How do we strengthen the Yetzer Tov? The end of the parsha, V'item kedoshim le'lokechem, the very end of the parsha is, be holy people, Hashem tells us. The end of the parsha of Shema, the end of Tzitzis is, we're supposed to be holy people. You read Shema, you're supposed to end up in a different place. I'm a different person when I finish Shema, if I have any intent, right? If I think about what I'm saying, so suddenly I'm a different person. So our sages say, if that worked, if you won, good. Meaning, what happens if a person feels his desire is still as potent as ever, and his heart is not being subdued, he's not listening. He's reading Shema, but his mind is elsewhere, his heart is elsewhere. So then remind yourself, hey, one day I'm going to be dead. At the end, all of us are worms. And that helps a person take his desires in measure. He gives them a grain of salt and says, wait a second, why are you guys so important? Why should my arrogance take over here? And that's why Akavya ben Mahalalel taught us, look at three things and you won't come to transgression. Remember where you were born, where you're going to, and you're going to give an accounting to. So that says the Rambam, Rabbi Avram, the son of the Rambam, that's an example of the third type of Medrash, where it's to be taken literally, but it's very, very hard, because to take it literally, he says, you have to know the definitions of the term. So I would say in the previous example he gave us, in the previous two examples, there are components which he just took for granted, and I would say they fall under this category, little me. Like, you'll only fill your mouth with laughter and Olam Haba. What's Olam Haba? I said when the temple will be rebuilt, because that's how Rabbeinu Yonah interprets that Gemara, but I don't know if that's how Rabbi Avram interprets the Gemara. So he says, you'll only be filled with laughter when what? What's pshat in the Medrash? I don't know what Olam Haba is. The second Medrash, the tzaddikim will dance in Gan Eden, and Hashem will stand in their midst. What's Gan Eden? So I could say the same concept he said in the third Medrash, the third type of Medrash in the first two, but he doesn't. He says we have type one, which is take it literally. Whatever you heard, that's what they're trying to tell you. Type two is there's a hidden message. Type three is take it literally, but recognize that you need to define it really well in order to get the message. Yeah?
Just to be trying to be clear with these things, because they run into different things. I don't know about this book. That book, the first... take it literally, that you mentioned. It's not that, I don't think it's that I've understood it. He says, check yourself if you think nothing could be better in this world. There's no big dash, no big dash. So just take it down a notch, even if the simcha like at the wedding, right? We'll pick the best. It sounds to me like, enjoy this world, but don't remind us, it's not over. Let's try it in Tusa. The third one here, where it gets really tricky, is like you say, the desires and the Yetzirah, because it's not, you said it in one of the other classes, you know, the desire, you wouldn't get up in one, that motive, the chicken wouldn't lay the eggs. I mean, there's this animal soul part, or animal part of us, or whatever, that needs to be harnessed.
Oh, so that's what he said, but that's what Moshe Kodvir says, it's not to eradicate, it's
right,
to harness.
However, we went real far with this, I think it was in the Friday class, where you say, there's even the desire to see other people hurting at times. That's where it starts to get into a gray, evilish area. But it's still human to have it to a certain point. Now, check yourself before you go out. If you buy a gun, go see a psychiatrist. You know, don't actually get ready to act on it. But that's where it gets really tricky, because it sounds like, because what we have to, and you say, Shema, you remind yourself that you're going to be dead one day, you don't want to have wasted this life, I feel shameful, eternity, whatever, and it's a constant battle. And sometimes it sounds to me like, you know, he's giving you tools to try and work with it. And you know, the big guns of the Shema and the next world that will be facing, but you can do your best, right? I mean,
but this is an example, this isn't his point. Saying his point is there's a third type of Medrash, right, where take it literally, just define your terms, right, and that's what's hard.
The hard thing is it's difficult to understand, so you may be taking something literally that he didn't mean.
Right, he didn't give us the tools to figure out how, which medrash is to be taken how. I think he's leaving that up to us. He says, the second type of medrash you're supposed to see on your own, it's not to be taken literally. And we have two more, which Bez Hashem will do next.